Glory to God. If you ever want to see the hand of God move, I dare you to worship him. Hallelujah. Something happens in the atmosphere of worship. Your intimacy with God. Hallelujah. He desires us to worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a difference in praising and worshiping. You know, sometimes we get a little lost in the praise, you know, because of the hype of music and all those things. It's all good and fine. I love praising God. But there's something about worship. Something about worshiping God. Hallelujah. That makes it personal. Amen. Hallelujah. That sets and charges the atmosphere for God to move. Glory to God. I could stand here all day and talk to you about some of the miraculous things that I've seen God do, from healing to deliverance, amen, to salvation. Some of those things that we deem to be an impossible thing. But with God, nothing. Absolutely nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I give all praise to him because he's worthy. Amen. Amen. To Pastor, thank you for allowing me to operate from your office this morning. Hallelujah. I don't take it light when God moves. And that's what he did last night. That wasn't just another baptism. Wasn't another day in the pool. But it was a time of God to minister to lives using a young lady. Amen. 10 years old, 11, 10, 11, 9, see? Amen. Even younger. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Amen. God has ordained praise. Hallelujah. And last night was just an awesome time in his presence. Hallelujah. Awesome time in his presence. And even now. Hallelujah. Even now. Glory to God. As pastor, last night we were standing there in the pool and he gave me the invitation to come and bring the word this morning. Everything in my flesh, my lips wanted to say, no, but it just wouldn't come forth. And I come to find out through some of the folks here that pastor has a persuasive spirit upon him. Amen. A persuasive. I'm trying to get my wife's attention. Couldn't get her attention. Pastor says, don't worry about it. She already knows. She already knows. So I just thank God for this opportunity to come before you. I'm usually a very prepared person. My wife can tell you. Yeah, I got to be there an hour early. Got to have everything in place. I have none of the normal stuff that I use when I minister, whether it's in song or in word. Absolutely none of it. So how many of you know fear kind of set in a little bit while we were standing in the pool there? It's like, what am I going to bring forth? What am I going to share with the people of God? Had no clue whatsoever. Let me show you what God did last night. Through the mouths of different ones that were here last night, different ones began to share with me some things that had been happening in their lives and how God had moved miraculously in certain ways. And through those words, God began to move on my spirit about a word. Amen. One word from the Lord will change your life. See, just a word from the Lord. And he used different ones just to speak into my spirit to prepare me for a time like this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me do this real quick. I'm going to ask my lovely, beautiful, exquisite wife to stand. Amen. And I don't use the term wife lightly. Amen. I don't use it lightly because she is a wife in every sense of the word. Amen. The word of God says when a man finds a wife, yes, good thing. Hallelujah. I truly thank God for her. Last night in the hotel, I said, honey, you're going to have to pray for me. You're going to have to really pray for me, because I really feel in my spirit God wants to do some things. And sometimes when I travel, I go to places where they're not used to certain things that may happen, and God may move in a way. And again, God will never embarrass you. I want to tell everybody now, you're in a good place. You're in a safe place. Okay? So don't feel uneasy if God calls you out or wants to minister to you in some form or fashion. Okay? Amen? Look to your neighbor and says, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Amen. One word from the Lord is going to change your life. Amen. I had my dear sister read from the book of James this morning. And the 12th verse was kind of a key thing for me, in that I desire God to prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me. Do you know the song, brother? Lord, prepare me. Can you just play that for me? Just a little bit of that. Just a little bit of that. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Choir, you know the song? Please. Amen. Anybody comfortable with the key? That's not my key he's playing in, but that's okay. Lord, prepare me. G? That's good right there. To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
I'll be a living.
Sanctuary,
sanctuary
for you.
Come
on, say that again. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me
to be a sanctuary,
pure and holy,
tried and true,
and with thanksgiving.
I'll be a living.
I'll be a living.
Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
For you.
Just
continue to play that. Continue to play that. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, for preparing hearts this morning, Lord, to receive, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would give the people in this building, Lord God, ears to hear what the Spirit would say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, take away every hindrance, Lord, every roadblock, Lord God, that would keep them, Lord, from pressing into you this morning in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Father. We honor you. And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, let all the people of God say amen,
amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, we can't control many of the circumstances that we have in life, but we can control how we respond to them. Amen?
Amen.
How we respond to difficulty is very important to God. Very important to God. In February of 2008, I faced probably one of the most, thank you, Jesus. I faced probably one of the most difficult things in my life, and that was the passing of my daughter at 27 years old. Now, in the book of James, it says, hallelujah, count it all joy. Going through it at that time, I couldn't figure out for the life of me how I was going to make it through that. Hallelujah. But it's not what you go through.
Yes, sir.
But it's how you go
yes,
through
sir.
It.
Amen.
I was this close of just throwing in the towel.
Yes, sir.
Giving it all up.
Yeah.
God, as much as I'd seen God move, I was willing to make this statement because of what happened to me. Mm-hmm. God, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
No one has a lie. Mm. But I was willing because I was pressed that much. Somebody say difficult.
Difficult.
It's not what you go through, but how you go through it. Look to your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it through. Hallelujah. In James, the first chapter, the 12th verse, it says, blessed is a man that endureth temptations, trials. For when he is tried, tested, and proved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Hallelujah. The key word here is endureth.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Endureth. Somebody say endureth.
Endureth.
Endureth. He that continues to love God and perseveres in his faith, even in the face of trouble, shall in the end receive a special reward. Amen? And we know this. Again, things that we've gone through in life. You know, even today, I mean, we could probably all lift our hands and say, yep, I'm dealing with some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Robert Louis Stevenson made this quote. He said, the idea of persevering is not just to bear it, but to remain under trials in such a way that we glorify God as we learn the lessons of the trials that were meant to teach us. See, when we're going through something, it's not just to go through, but God is sometimes trying to teach you something. Amen? Sometimes the trials come to make us. Amen? When I was dealing with the things that I was going through with my daughter, God sent three people and repeated the very same things. He said, you may not understand what's going on right now, but in time, it's going to strengthen your ministry. First time I heard it, I almost told the person to get lost. Didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to hear it then. Second time I heard it, something's happening here. The third time, it really stuck because, again, it was the same message. He says, it's going to strengthen your ministry. You may not understand it right now, but it will strengthen your ministry. I say to you sitting here, if you're going through, you're dealing with things, those tough things, those hard trials, God will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. He will bring you to that place where you can stand and have a testimony. Amen. I stand before you. Hallelujah. I mean, I was ready to really give it up. My wife can tell you. This is it. This is it. But I thank God for sending me a word, amen, that changed my life in that moment, in that season of my life, amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, we deal with a young man by the name of Joseph, amen. And it came to pass in verse 19 of the 39th chapter of Genesis, it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake. And we all know the story, what happened there.
That's right.
A lie was told. Man.
That's right. That's right.
A lie was told. It says, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible doesn't exactly tell us how long. Sometimes when we're going through trials and tribulations, man, it seems like it's eternity. When is this thing going to be over, Lord? God, where are you? Am I the only one that's ever said those things? I'm probably the only one that's ever said those things. God, when is this thing going to be over with? See? But if we take into account the details and the calculations of certain things that happened in the story, hallelujah, that may not seem like a long time, yet try to imagine spending the next 3 years. Now, I know we got some law enforcement in here and that type of thing, and they work. I got a daughter that just became a correctional officer, and she tells me some of the stories of some of the people that are there, some of the just medial things that they've done, and they've got life for it. Imagine spending life in prison. Couldn't imagine it. I could not imagine it. Hallelujah. Even more so, add to the fact that you are completely innocent. Completely innocent of any crime, and you don't know if you'll ever get out. You keep over and over again, well, I'm going to challenge this thing. I'm going to challenge it. But you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. How is this thing going to work out? James tells us that God uses trials to examine the validity of our faith. And basically what it's saying, do you trust God?
Amen.
Do you trust God, or will you trust God? Amen? We learn also from James, Peter, Hebrews, that God uses trials to develop our faith and to make us stronger. I don't know about you, but I need to be stronger at times.
Amen.
Because, man, the enemy, he comes in like a flood. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody experienced those floods in life?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Floods come, but God raises up a standard. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. How did Joseph view his trials? I can tell you one thing. He didn't enjoy it. How many of us enjoy our trials? No, nobody. I don't know of anybody that enjoys being tried. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He was oblivious to what was happening. It hurt him just as much as it would hurt us. Amen. Hallelujah. In Genesis 40 and 14, you can write these down if you don't want to turn there. Amen. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. How many, sometimes we need an ally. Amen.
Oh,
we need somebody,
yeah,
to go on our behalf.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
I thank God for Jesus,
yeah,
who goes in on my behalf. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Who gave his life that I would have life. Hallelujah. I don't have to live cowered down. I don't have to live in fear. Amen. But he has given me life, and he has given it more abundantly.
Amen.
Amen. And see, what God gives me in the abundance is not for me to keep, but to give, to give, to give, to give. I pray that my life standing before you right now is touching someone even right now. Glory to God. Abundant life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Joseph did not enjoy his trials, as we said. Hallelujah. No more than any of us. There was a statement made by a young man named Paul Freed. He says, a trial is not a trial unless it makes you want to quit. Do I need to say that again? A trial is not a trial unless it makes you want to quit. You have not gone through anything, hallelujah, until you're at the point of breaking, at the point of wanting to throw in the towel. That's a trial. That's a trial. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, God will sometimes allow us to be taken to the point of breaking in order to determine whether or not our faith in him is genuine and real.
Amen.
Back when God commissioned me to basically move to New Jersey, a lot of you all know, my friends in here, classmates and different ones know, I'm from Virginia. But God sent me to New Jersey because he said there is a need there.
All right.
Hallelujah. And I had to be obedient to that. But he wanted to know if I would trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Where is your faith? Well, when I was getting ready to move there, I had to deal with my wife, my kids, because again, Virginia is home. I'm getting ready to take them into a far away, it's only 3 hours away, but it was a far away land, okay, where we didn't know anybody, didn't know what was, you know, God, what are you doing? He says, trust me, trust me. So we went, amen, we went, and he says, you shall call this ministry True Worshipers Ministry. Amen. Because he's called us to be true worshipers. Amen. And we have the luxury to be able to go places. You know, God sets the Sundays. Like I said last night, sometimes it's just my wife and myself or maybe two, three other people. But the Word of God says where two or three are gathered, where two or three are gathered, he is in the midst. Amen. And that, I'd rather have God as an audience than nothing against any of you in here than all of the people in this place. If I've got God as my audience, hallelujah. If I can just get his attention, I don't have to do backflips and things. He knows where I am. Amen. He said, just call me. Call me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you know the name of Jesus is that name that's above every name? Hallelujah. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. Isn't that right, Miss Olivia? We talked about that, didn't we? That he is Lord. He has full control of my life. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If we read in the book of Job, we see just that thing. Amen. Job became very discouraged and at times wished that he had never been born. Yet he said these words right here. Though he slay me. You can do whatever you want to me. You can say whatever you want to me. Yet I will trust him. What's the other scripture that says some may trust in horses and some may trust in chariots? Hallelujah. But we trust in the name. Woo! We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. So let's back up to Joseph here. Now, in the state that he was in, being bound in prison, and we used to do prison ministry, and I know the first time I went in, man, and I heard those doors clang. It was a spirit of depression. And my wife can tell you, when I got back home, I came in the house and sat down. Man, you thought somebody had you know, just sucked the life out of me. I mean, a spirit of depression came over me like you wouldn't believe. And that's what we find in places like that. Those spirits of depression and despair, like, what's the use, you know? I'm here, you know? But in Joseph's situation, three things. One, he could have made it a prison of self-pity. Two, it could have been a dungeon of despair. And three, a sanctuary for God's presence. Woo! A sanctuary for God's presence. And if we read the story and we know the Word of God, that we know that it became a sanctuary for God's presence. What is a sanctuary? What is a sanctuary? A sanctuary is sometimes used outside of the Bible. For instance, we see signs that say bird sanctuary, or some may say this is my sanctuary. One of my favorites is, one of my favorite movies is Remember the Titans. And when he walks into that stadium, he says, ah, yes. This is my sanctuary. In other words, this is where I'm comfortable. This is where I do my best. This is where I excel. Okay? So we find that it can be a place of habitation, a place to come into, a place that is set aside. This beautiful building we're in. Okay? This is set aside for a time of coming together and worshiping God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, this is going somewhere. The word sanctuary is also used extensively in the Bible. is first used in the book of Exodus to refer to the tabernacle that later became the temple. Hallelujah. When the word sanctuary is used in the Bible, it is referring to a place that has been set apart specifically for God. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the building became the sanctuary as well as the various altars and other items in it. It all became a holy place that was set apart for the glory of God. Other words that associated with this particular word is consecrated, dedicated, sacred, hallow, holy. All of these things. Amen. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple were the holy places. In the New Testament, all of that changed. Hallelujah. No longer did God, and I don't want anybody to misconstrue this, that God is not here, but in the Old Testament, they relied on a place to go meet God. Okay? So no longer was God dwelling in the building itself. Amen? But God now abides in the one who has been born again. Amen? Thank God that he takes up residence in this building. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not, Miss Olivia, that you are the temple of God. The choice you made to make Jesus Lord of your life, at the moment you said, come, he was right there. Amen. He was right there, and he has control of your life at that point. Amen. And we seal the deal.
Yes, sir.
Right back here. Amen. Through the water baptism. So know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building firmly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, we are one in the body of Christ. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, I need you. Even though you're the foot, you might be the hand. See? I need you. Amen? And we have Jesus as a chief cornerstone, hallelujah, to make up this building. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul refers to God's children as being his saints, whereas a building might be called a sanctuary. Much rather be a saint than a sanctuary. Amen? God's called us to be that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where believers are referred to as saints, indicating that we are his holy ones, a peculiar people. I don't know about you, but I'm not only saved, but I'm radically saved. Hallelujah. I don't mind dancing before God. I don't mind. My brother here, he really charged the atmosphere. And then my brother prayed before I came up. There was just an expectation of a mighty move of God. I just felt that as they begin to charge the atmosphere. We are his holy ones. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Another word found in the Bible that is very similar to the word sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is a process whereby God sets us apart for himself. Just what he did with each and every one of us and did with Olivia. Amen. He has set you apart for his holy purpose. No other reason. No other reason. He has set you aside for his purpose and his purpose alone. Now, there are two parts of sanctification. First is positionally sanctified, okay, unto God at the moment of our salvation. Like I told you, at the moment you said, God, come be the Lord of my life, he was right there, positionally, amen. 1 Corinthians bears that out. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The second part of that is we are practically sanctified. Practically sanctified unto God through our maturity as a believer. Now, when we first come to God, we are babes in Christ. Amen. We don't know it all. I heard a pastor say it this way. We mess on ourselves. We throw up just like a baby does. Amen. We don't really know what's going on. We need to be taught. We need to be trained. We need to be nurtured. We need to be matured. Amen. And I know without a doubt that my great niece is going to be nurtured. She's going to be matured. Amen. Because I look at the head. And I look at all those who have come and undergirded pastor here. Great teacher. I know that to be a fact. I hear it from different ones that the teaching in this house is awesome. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 2:20 brings this out about a practically sanctified. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Prepared unto every good work. Last night, as the baptism was going on, God began to speak into my spirit, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get back to this, but I believe that God wants to move on some lives today. Amen. God has called each and every one of us, amen, to a work. And it's a sad thing that people sit and don't get involved. I heard it said, I can't remember who said it, but there's a lot of work to be done in this house. There's a lot of work to be done in this house. And God has called each and every one of us to be a part. And last night, as we were standing in the pool there, there's some that God has started and given you a plan to do certain things. And you've kind of given up. You've given up the idea, well, hey, I'll let somebody else do it. Or you know, I'm tired. Get on the J-O-B. See, because once God calls you, see, he is faithful to complete it. Amen. He's faithful to complete it. I can be a witness. Again, I tried to give up a number of times. But God says, no, keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. And I say that to you, that you've had a mandate from God, you had a word from God to do. Seek God again. Get up from where you are. Move forward. I can assure you of this one thing, is that God has his people on a forceful advance. See? He has us moving forward. You've got to take a hold of this thing and move. Amen. I can't do it for you. Pastor can't do it for you. My brother here can't do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. Amen. We each have a plan and a purpose in life. And it's time to get up and do it. It's time to rise up and do what God has called you to. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you just begin to play hallelujah? Just whatever's on your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. God wants to take up residence in you in a way that he's never done before. Hallelujah. Like I said, I've been doing this a long time. I've been on this walk for a good minute. But there's a lot of time left that God wants to use me. There's a lot of time left that God wants to use you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, I want to say this to you by the Spirit of God. Expansion. Expansion. And I don't mean tearing down walls. Don't mean building higher up or anything like that. But God says there's an influx of people. There's an influx of people coming.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
People that you haven't seen for some time. People that you've never seen.
My Lord.
But there's going to be an influx. As I look out here and I see the empty spots. Hallelujah. Mark my word. These shall be filled. That's the importance of you doing what God has called you to do, because you're not going to be able to sit where you are. You might have to scoot over more. You might have to move to the front to make room for those who are coming.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hear that Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, prepare me. I see people crying out. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me. Lord, I've been doing this and I've been doing that. Lord, prepare me. Prepare me for what you're calling me to do. Prepare me. Prepare me. The time is now. The altar has been set for those who desire to rise up from mediocrity and a place of staleness, of stagnant, to come, even right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is calling you. He's calling you higher. He's calling you higher. You know who you are. The altar has been prepared. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? I want you to be mindful of the words I spoke a little earlier. That sometimes we come in, people come Sunday in, Sunday out, the same way they came in. And I'm not talking about just being, in sin or any of those things. Yeah, there are people that come that really need to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. But even us who have been coming, you may be a deacon. You may be one of the ministers up here. And God has been calling you to come a little higher. To come a little higher. Hallelujah. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying this. That you need to put away those things and come with me. Put away those things and come with me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is calling right now. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Don't let the enemy hold you in that place, because God has much greater, much greater, much greater. Hallelujah. If that's you, we're going to ask you to come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.